8th grade conference, lecture 2. We'll go on with the nature of the 8th grader. So we spoke about the physical body, and now let's look at the member, the body, the force system that is closest to that, and that is the etheric body. And Steiner speaks about this part of our being more than anything else. It's one of his major topics in his thousands of lectures. He comes back again and again to the etheric body, the etheric world. And we might say that although he didn't exactly discover this world, but among great spiritual teachers from primordial times through our time, Rudolf Steiner was the first to really differentiate between the etheric body and the astral body. That other spiritual teachers will use the term etheric. He wasn't the first, but what they're talking about goes far beyond what Steiner meant by the etheric body. Or others will speak of the soul being of the human being. There again, it's the etheric body and the astral body combined. By differentiating between these two, Steiner made it possible to educate the child in a new way. Apart from everything else, we wouldn't have anthroposophical medicine, biodynamic farming, or biodynamic wine. We wouldn't have any of the practical applications that Rudolf Steiner gave if we did not have this differentiation. So what I'm going to say about the etheric body is just, you know, barely icing on the cake or the tip of the iceberg. You really should be looking into it yourself, especially if eighth grade is not the end of the line for you. If you're thinking of returning to an earlier grade or even first grade, there you really have to understand the etheric body. For us, the etheric body is secondary. It's the astral body that really is going to be where I'm going to direct your attention again and again. But nonetheless, this is complicated. The bodies never just work completely independently. They're always interwoven. And the etheric body plays a huge role as the bridge between the astral body and the physical body. And let's just take a look then at some characteristics of the etheric body. Number one, it is anabolic. That is to say, it carries the forces of building up within the human being. Everything that has to do with our taking on substance, with our cellular repair that goes on every night while we're sleeping, with, in fact, the whole range of healing that goes on in the human being, this is the etheric body at work. So on one hand, it is, of course, absolutely essential. In fact, Steiner calls it the life body. He also calls it the body of form, because it maintains our form. The fact that we wake up every morning in a body that we recognize with a name that we know, not just remember, but know, this is all the etheric body at work. And death means that not only has the, we could say, soul and spirit withdrawn from the human being, but life itself, that is to say, the etheric body has withdrawn. So the etheric body is like our guardian angel. It stays with us from the time that we are gestating in the womb and does not leave us till we take our last breath. In fact, it is because of the etheric body's leaving that we do take our last breath. It also is on, let's say, more of a soul level. It is connected, and this is very important for teachers in grade 8 to understand. It is connected with forces of heredity, that it is the bearer, we could say, of what modern science would speak of as the DNA, the RNA, the, you know, human genome, the entire course of everything having to do with our chromosomes and what we carry over from our parents and grandparents and so on. It's what Mendel was studying when he undertook the study of genetics. Interesting that Mendel was able to work with plants because we have the etheric body in common with the plant. So we're not only stones, we also are plant-like in nature. And like the plants, we need fluids. The etheric body lives very strongly in the fluid side of our being. And like the plants, we are constantly in a state of digestion, ingestion, transformation, growth. Only in our case, it doesn't end with a season, but rather we are perennial. We're sort of always in the possibility of blossoming at any time. We're also in the possibility of sort of laying down seeds of our own nature. So that's another important aspect of the etheric body. The fact that this is the age in which students are rebelling openly, actively, sometimes it seems even joyfully, against their parents, against everything that they grew up with, which might include the parents' religious beliefs, the parents' political beliefs, the conventions, the standards that those parents have tried to inculcate in the children. And it's not to say everybody's up in arms against it all the time or anything like that, but on the whole, parents will be telling you what a rough time their children, your students, are giving them. And if particularly you've been with them in loco parentis, in the place of the parent, since first grade, you'll find the same sort of rebellion going on. The fact that this rebellion is going on tells us that the etheric forces are no longer dominant. Something else is coming. We call it the astral body. I'll go on to that in a moment. So the etheric body is the body of childhood. And in fact, in the first 7 years of life, the tremendous growth, the tremendous change, the quick learning, the life of habit, all of these things are very, very much connected to the activity of the etheric body that is trying to form us. And it is giving us the physical form that we need. It's giving us the physical form that Steiner says hundreds of years before in the spiritual world, the etheric body was given that blueprint for the kind of body that we would need in our next life to be able to realize our destiny and our karma, which has a whole lot to do with whether we like it or not. It has to do with what we look like and whether we're short or tall and whether we're quick or slow. All of these things that, again, find their way into the physical body, that is our instrument of destiny. And the etheric body has the sacred, powerful responsibility of forming our physical body in accordance with the laws of karma. I just mentioned parenthetically that increasingly when I go to schools, particularly charter schools, but not exclusively so, independent schools will sometimes say the same thing. Before I lecture, or when I'm talking with the administrator usually, or sometimes the faculty chair, about what my lecture topic will be, so often now people will say, you're not going to talk about, I know what they're going to say, reincarnation? Right, yeah, don't, you know, they just freak out. over that word, even though any national poll will show, 55% of Americans ascribe to reincarnation. What they mean by it, what their ideas are, that's a whole other, ball of wax. But schools freak out about this. And yet, and I think you'll see this again and again, certainly in this conference, and I hope you've walked into it with open eyes, if we do not understand reincarnation, we are at a loss to understand the children in our class. I mean, you can throw in all kinds of psychological stuff and talk about how screwed up their parents are and what do you expect. All of that conventional thinking of our time, if that were really so great, if that really answered questions, then why are all of the kids today so messed up? Why is our culture so messed up? Why is everybody on antidepressants and things like that? Because those psychological ideas are very superficial. They're not wrong necessarily, but they only scratch the surface. And we really, to really understand the human being in his or her fourfold nature, especially at this critical time in a young person's life, which in which so much of the future is being foreshadowed, we want to be sure that we are looking at students with real depth. Okay, that was parenthetical. Let me go on. So the etheric body has done everything it can to form that physical body so that a human being's karma can be fulfilled. However, the conditions of the physical world today, I don't have to tell you this, are so incredibly out of kilter and out of balance, and there's so much out there in the air that's unbreathable, and in the food chain that's inedible, and so on, that the etheric body is lucky if it can kind of give us about half of what we need in terms of our physical body, sometimes probably a lot less than that, which means that individuals are in physical bodies that are not really suitable instruments for them fulfilling their karma. Those of you who've been with your class for a while, or who know your school at least pretty well, know that certainly when the children start playing string instruments, I hope your school has a music program, when they start playing string instruments in grade 3 or grade 4, they're not exactly going to be getting a Stradivarius for each child. You give them student grade violins and violas, cellos, whatever, and they learn. But within a couple of years, the music teacher may go up to a parent and say, look, your daughter needs a better instrument. She can already tell that she's not getting the kind of tone that she's capable of creating. And I know somebody who's, willing to rent a much higher. So suddenly some of the children are getting really, really good instruments. And it's well known in the world of music that, you want to win a competition or two, because then the person who owns the Stradivarius instrument will be willing to lend it to you for an unspecified period of time, because you will never, never be the violinist that you could be without the right instrument. So, who's going to lend us the Stradivari that we need? This is a huge question for our time. And this is one of the frustrations of modern life, that people's physical bodies are ever more inadequate to the full realization of their karma. And people are feeling unfulfilled. The Army used to have an advertising campaign, you know, army, period. Of course, using sentence fragments. Army, period. Be all you can be. Yeah, right. Put on a uniform, grab a gun, and some night vision goggles, and now you can be all you can be. Everyone realizes, I can't be all I want to be. Something's standing in the way. And here again, this awakens in a young person in eighth grade, the sense that my etheric body, though I owe so much to it, it has not been able to make me into a fitting instrument for karma. I want to overthrow it. I don't want to have to deal with anything that has to do with it. You know, get that. I'm not going to eat that food you're serving me. No, I don't want to go with you to see that dumb movie that's PG. No, 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 no. So the etheric body now is in a kind of state of crisis, starting in the middle of grade six and extending, you know, with greater ferocity, we might say, this crisis is coming until it becomes a virtual tornado. In fact, you might want to have a look after you've heard this series of lectures on the eighth grader at the slideshow on meteorology that gives you a picture of what's going on in the soul forces of the eighth grader. Okay, so that takes care of the etheric body. It'll come back. It doesn't go away. And we'll look next at the center of our attention in this grade, which is the young person's astral body.